Mayor Mack is not at the meeting, as you all know, and the Assembly is required to appoint their chair amongst the Assembly members. If I can get a motion.
Make a motion to appoint Alvin Oscar Bassett as chairman for this meeting.
Second. Call a question.
Warren.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Paul.
Yep.
Joe.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yep.
Carol.
Yes.
Brenda. Nikki. Nikki? Yes. Paul Shack?
Yes.
I was meeting you out there, Alvin.
Yeah, I know. Okay, if there's no other changes, do we do roll call on this?
Can I get a second on that motion?
Second. Are there any objections to the adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none. Okay, well, next is community roll call and public comment. So, you want to do that, Tina? Go through the
caller?
Sure.
Sam Point, who do you have with you?
Hi, I'm here with Virgil, and we are recording KSDP, and it'll be on the air tonight about 7, okay?
Accutan? King Cove. Anyone else with you, Jackie?
No, there's no one else here.
Colbe? Paul?
Yeah, I'm here, Paul Shack, and got Doug Damberg from the Wildlife Refuge Manager there, Hap Kremer, and Don Lyons, President of the building, okay?
False pass. Anyone with you, Nikki?
Chris Emmerich.
Did I get them all? I think I'm missing one. Oh, Nelson Lagoon is not on. And in Anchorage, we have staff members, Administrator Rick, we have Annie, Ernie, Laura, Roxanne, and from the city of King Cove, we have Mayor Henry Mack and the Administrator Gary Hennig, and did I get everybody?
Okay. Next on the agenda is minutes from the February 12th meeting. Need a motion? Okay. Oh, on the public. Is there any comments from the public on the agenda item?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to comment on one of the items that is added to the agenda on the vehicle access road discussion on alternatives. When we first started this project in 98, there were 7 alternatives that were discussed at that time, and we believe we chose the right. One of the alternatives is what we are working on right now. We have Washington senators, Representative Don Young, and our Congress and representatives in Juneau are very supportive of the alternatives that we're working on right now. The large amounts of money that's been spent on EISs and then meetings and so forth. Our governor supports that. We maybe start discussing other alternatives at this time. Might send a message of those who are in the position to make the right call that we believe on the road access over there today. I don't want to send them a wrong message. We might be leaping up here. They're talking about another alternative. Any way we can get to that airport, Mark. But I think we're so far into it right now, money-wise, leadership-wise, especially with our legislature, governor, very supportive, ready to start digging holes, putting this road in. I guess that's all I have. Hate to see it have to go through another process.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. I think when we get down to item 7, and that's sub-item 3 under 7, maybe we'll have further discussion on that before we go into it to leave any concerns that you have.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll go to item 4, minutes of the February 12th meeting. We need a motion. Motion by Brenda.
Second.
Second by Ken. Are there any changes or corrections to the February 12th minutes?
Question.
Question's been called.
Roll call?
No, I can do it just... If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Hearing none. Financial report, I checked with our financial officer, and those are currently unavailable until our next meeting.
Yes. I'd like to be on record, though, as the audit that was presented to us this morning. I'd like to thank Roxanne and her staff for being sure to keep us on the right track and doing such awesome financials. We had no findings. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think, and for the record, during the workshop, the Alaska Permanent Capital Management folks were here and gave us our annual update on the Burroughs investments along with a management letter, all of which showed no defects in any department, I guess you'd call it, and we got a favorable management letter to the borough, the staff, finance people. And also, just for the record also, we had a presentation by APICTA on the Sandy River Land Lease Development Plan. And that's only two, right? That was two. Yeah. Okay. So under resolutions, we got Resolution 15-20, a resolution of Aleutians East Borough authorizing the mayor to negotiate a long-term lease with the APICTA Joint Ventures.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay, motion by Brenda, second by Ken. I'll turn this over to the manager.
Okay, we currently have two leases in the Sandy River area. That one's a 1 acre and one's a 5 acre, I believe it is, to Pitka for use with the Sandy River Lodge. They have requested to expand those leases and to I guess to extend them, but in reality, I think we'll just make new leases and probably combine the two. But anyway, they want to expand them and increase the length of those leases. And so, according to our code, the assembly has the authority to do that. But before administration spends a lot of time and money negotiating, we needed to have this brought to the assembly for your review. And so what this resolution does is you authorize the mayor to negotiate a lease to bring back to you on those Sandy River leases that a PICTA would like to do.
So, assembly comments? Paul? The land lease, the proposed lease, there are some complicated issues that I think we're going to look at pretty closely. But if this is approved, I'd like to see perhaps a range of options that the assembly could choose from. You know, instead of just having one option only, perhaps there's a different way to look at it, where instead of going from 1 acre to 10 or 20, it hasn't been surveyed yet. And I assume it's going to have to be surveyed before we even get to the next step, too. But I do know that the plane they're using now, the PC-12, the supply of PC-12, I helped, probably was an accident too. It heck of a little hurt my turboprop, England, the turboprop that carried 9 people and landed short and took cargo for it. And I don't know what that means. It was a lot easier to get to. But I don't want your strip to it. I'm worried about the conditions being just right to get in. But, I don't know what the right term would be if we approve it and the lease is brought before us to vote on. I don't know what the right time is. Anyway, there's a few questions I have, but I don't know if you think objection to, probably vote for it, I think it's, and let the administration figure it out for us. Come back and make a recommendation and see where we are. I don't think it'll be real quick, but I can't see, because surveying it always can take time. Any other comment? Warren?
With the lease, the ownership of that airport, if it's the, I know we're leasing the land, but when they get the lease, do they own the airport? We own the airport? Are we liable for the airport?
My understanding is that it's not a classified airport. I mean, it's okay. Pretty much just a gravel strip that's there. So if their lease encompasses it, and we include in the lease that they have exclusive use of all that land on that lease, then yes, they'd be responsible for taking care of maintaining it and doing whatever. My concern is if we said, well, we'll let you use it, but we want you to have it open to the public, then all of a sudden we've taken control over it, and we've made it a landing strip that we may have some liability for. But those are some things that we're still kind of working with the insurance company and the risk management side and the attorney to make sure we can determine. But that obviously would be nice to know if what the assembly's thoughts on that are. But if there's other places for people to land out there, then my suggestion would be just to lease them the land and let them be responsible for it.
Any other? Okay. And I think when Mr. Cotter was here and gave us a presentation, I think in the lease, too, we should see, as he kind of alluded to, is whatever the acreage turns out to be, make sure that it's put in there that the survey costs are there. So that would take some of the burden off of us. And I personally, after looking at what's presented and where it's at, I don't have a problem with
not part of the lease. So now, if there's no other discussion on it, we've got resolution 15-20 before us. And it's basically a resolution of Aleutians East Borough, Alaska, authorizing the mayor to negotiate a long-term lease with a PICTA joint venture. So they would go and negotiate and bring it back to the assembly.
Well, just a friendly amendment in the title. It should say out to negotiate and bring back to the assembly, perhaps, because that's what it says in the last sentence. In fact, in the title, it should say that, too, just to be clear.
Sure.
I don't know if it's necessary or not, just a point of inquiry, I guess.
Okay, because it is written in the...
Yeah, just, I guess I'll just, in the minutes, will reflect that it's to bring back to the assembly for approval.
Okay.
I move resolution 1520.
Okay.
We already have a motion.
Call for
question. Call.
Yes.
Joe?
Yes, ma'am.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul Shack?
Yes.
Alvin?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Nikki?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion
carries. Okay, now we're to reappointed item number 7. So, number 1 under it, the King Cole School, Paul.
Perhaps Rick could give us an update on the status. I know there's apparently a bid out. I don't know when the bid is due, and it might be up to $2 million. Maybe you could just get us up to see there where we are.
Very cool.
So, as you know, we have a significant leakage problem at the King Cove School. We have filed a lawsuit against the contractor and the architect on the claim. The court system, of course, requires mediation prior to actually going to trial. We had the mediation. The architect and the contractor are still not willing to take the blame for it yet. They're pointing at the other one. So we have to continue forward on that lawsuit as far as the claim goes. But in the meantime, the school is still leaking. So we were concerned about that and decided that given the short construction season that you have anyway, plus the fact that you got to try to do as much of it as you can, at least the worst part of it, while the kids aren't in school, we better get this thing out the bid. But so it is out the bid. The estimate from our architect right now is around $1.5-1.6 million. But we'll know, of course, when the bids come in on, they're due in on March 12th, and then that contract will be brought back to the assembly for approval because of the amount we can't move forward. And the bids was let in such a way that they know that we could reject any and all bids and not go forward. So there's two things that have to happen. The assembly would have to approve the budget that would give us the money to do it and would have to approve that contract. And then we would move forward this summer.
Well, one of the things that affects all the communities, not just King Cove budget, is that money is used to disperse to everybody like it did this year. Was dispersed, and we decide that later. So whatever we spend on the King Cove School, which is probably needed, the other communities are going to lose out a little bit on, you know, each one will lose a couple $100,000 or more, perhaps. So something to keep in mind. And what are the bids?
March 12th. And I mean, I was going to talk about that, I guess, during the bid time or during the budget time, but. I mean, that was the only place I could come up with that we had the money to be able to do this project. I mean, hopefully we hope to get as much back to the lawsuit as we can, but as you all know, that's always, if you get a portion of it, you're usually doing good. So, but anyway, so that's that was the reason behind it. But, yeah, the bids are due March 12th.
Any other?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I just had a question about the amount of projects that we've had. And I think King Cove is like our second or third one that we've had to have a lawsuit against someone. Could you kind of tell me what outstanding lawsuits that we may be involved or have been involved in, say, the last 5-10 years?
Well, I'm not sure I could go back that far. I can tell you that when I first started the job that we were in, we went to settlement discussions with the contractor and the architect on the Cold Bay Terminal, and we settled that, and I want to say around $600,000 is what I remember. So there's that one, and then the only other one is with the lawsuit against the Department of Interior over the EIS on the Eisenbeck proposed road.
Is there something in False Pass that we had to go through something?
Oh, okay. The False Pass Harbor, the contractor there has a claim against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. That claim, there was a hearing that was heard on it. We're just waiting for the decision, which we're told by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers could be another year or two.
My next question is, my real question is, how are we batting, I guess, against all those lawsuits that we're getting into?
Well, I mean, that's always hard to say, and we could schedule any kind of a brief update at a future meeting with a work executive session on it. The false pass one, other than the last time, I think the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers attorneys have said they felt they had a good case. The EIS, that one has, we filed a summary judgment motion, and we're waiting for the response back from the Department of the Interior. And then we'll be able to respond to them, and then the judge will have a period of time that he'll be able to make that decision. We feel pretty good that we've got a good claim there. Quite frankly, we know that he's probably just going to tell them that their EIS is lacking and have them go back and do a supplemental. And then the King Cove, I think we have a good claim there. Without getting into the particulars, again, I don't think you're ever going to get 100% out what you put into it, but I think we will get some of our money back on that one. We actually have settled on the damage portion with the insurance company, with AMLJIA. They sent us a check for, I think it was $248,000 and some odd change, but that's because they'd only covered just the damage portion. Now we're talking about the actual design and construction of it. So,
okay. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Joe. There are questions?
I have one. When we do the, when we go out to bid and the work starts on the King Cove project, will we have an on-site borough inspector engineer?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Paul, hovercraft question.
Oh, we're on. There's a report, and I know I'm a little nervous about keeping postponing it on and on, so maybe another quick report.
Well, the short of it is that Cruise Marine, who's buying the vessel, has a financing partner, which happens to be Siri, and they are still working out their financial arrangement and contract, so they requested that to get a 30-day extension, and we actually hope to have it done before then, but they requested it. We went back and forth on it a little bit because we were concerned about that too, and in the end decided that another 30 days to put together a fairly complicated financing package from their standpoint would be good for us and good for them. So
okay.
we agreed to the 30 day.
Well, I would just request them that if there's another extension request, that it be brought back to the assembly for discussion before it's approved. So I don't necessarily want to make a motion, but you'd probably do that anyway, I'm guessing, wouldn't you?
Right.
Okay. Any other comments on the hovercraft? Okay. Now we're at the Kinko Colby Road, and Paul.
Hi. I'm sorry, thanks. Good life.
Okay, maybe I'd say something before we get started, since Henry is here with his manager, and they've brought up some concerns of getting too much publicity on anything but the project as it's going. If we're going to go in depth on it, or if there's things that he feels that might be hurtful to the current project, I was wondering if we go that way, if we'd be better off to take a portion of the assembly and some of the King Cole folks and put it into a committee. That way it wouldn't be a public document until it's presented to the assembly.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm not proposing anything at this meeting. I'm just discussing options. That's part of a public discussion, which I don't think mayors.
Does Henry have one of those?
Yeah, this is. If I could explain this really quickly, this is just a map that's freely available on the internet.
Yeah,
many different times. However, if you look at the pink land,
okay,
the corporation land goes all the way to Cole Bay across those islands, and I flew across them again the other day. Alvin was in the other seat. We were just looking at low tide. It's interesting. And for several years, I've been thinking this has got to be a much better way. And so I've been researching along with other people, and other people have suggested this too, looking at the land ownership. There's a very small piece, it's only a portion of that green area below King Cove land, that's Eisenbeck Refuge, and then there's Lost Peninsula Refuge below that, right into the city of Livingston's land and King Cove. Airport. But here's if this idea moved along at some point in the future, or we discussed it, I think we ought to discuss it for the following reason. It's we can build it now. We don't have to wait another 30 years. I was in Sun Valley, Idaho when I first became really aware of it in the 80s. This idea has been around a long time, and it's not getting past Sally Jewell very quickly. This one doesn't need. I think there's a way to get it there without talking to Sally Jewell and getting her approval. There's no land trade. That's the land trade. All that land will go back to the city of King Cole. They won't have to. I don't want to say it's the worst land trade since the $24 Manhattan deal, but it's damn near close. And there's no restriction on use with this plan, or a version of this plan. Right now, the plan has a lot of restrictions, even if it gets built under the existing plan. This one, there would be no restrictions. And if the sale of the hovercraft goes through, we have $2 million to start. And now doing surveying and moving up toward the toward the islands. And so I think there's a lot of merits to look at it. That doesn't mean we have to commit to it. But maybe we can get that in our lifetime, which doesn't look likely now. I've been involved as all the other people who've been around a long time. And I'm tired of waiting. I want to build it. And I think the state would be behind this, too. Okay.
Well, we might be able to. We're we're proposing that we have the discussion with the city of King Cove about this road at the next meeting in King Cove that we're proposing to have in April. So we might be able to get into this further. But I will state this, that while you're not going through the wildlife refuge and getting the permission of the Secretary of Interior, you still are going to have wetlands issues, and you're still going to require a Corps of Engineer permit. And they, of course, will get input from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So it's not a given that the other route that we could start tomorrow on. There still would be a lot of work and a lot of permission that still had to be given by the federal government. So, but anyway, my recommendation is we have that discussion more as we have the whole discussion.
Sure, there's no action at this particular meeting, but our good friends of King Cove Corporation, I think we have to sit down with them and see if it's their land. If it moves forward, no matter which way it goes, still has to go across a pretty good chunk of their land. And if our next meeting is in King Cove, we always say we're having a meeting somewhere, we never do, it's on the phone again. But I think we owe it to people in King Cove to have a meeting there and talk about options and bring some people around it. All this road now is all on borough land. It's, of course, it's going to connect the city of King Cove and good people of King Cove who need a road, deserve a road, and to Cove Bay. But it's on our land, in our boundaries now. It's our decision.
You know, I would still suggest that the borough pick some committee members and work with the city of King Cove, and maybe a lot of things that don't need to be aired could get hashed out and get down to the meat of things, so there's no, you know, so a lot of misunderstandings and that type of thing doesn't get out. And both sides could, in a committee setting, work out the differences that they have, possibly, before it comes to a full assembly meeting. Paul?
One little problem with that is there's been a King Cove working group that has had the borough and the city involved, and I asked over a year about minutes of the meeting or how the decision-making process, I never heard back anything. Period. It was asked in a public meeting. And so I'm a little nervous about saying, oh, let's go back to that, because that's what business as usual is. Anybody been to King Cove working group meeting? I certainly haven't.
I didn't know they had one.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to mention about King Cove group when Paul brought it up. There has been a group, and they looked at all these alternatives and stuff.
Right.
They have lengthy discussions on it. Gary has a good group. He can mention that they're suspending. I mean, he's the leader of the King Cove group.
But it is active?
Yes. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, let me say that what would make us happy is to have either the committee or a group as a whole start by discussing the letter that Mayor Henry Mack sent to Mayor Stanley Mack. There are some key things in there about how this project started, who and when legally got the ownership of the project, what the City of King Cove, working in harmony with the Lindsay's Borough, the King Cove Corporation, the Ogdow Tribe, the Belkowski Tribe, why there's been an incredible sum of money spent, why 80% of my life in the last 8 years has been devoted to this, and to somehow think that there aren't some people in Lucian's East Borough that know what's been going on, because they've been there every time this group has made a decision in D.C., in June, or whatever. So I would beg this body to allow some education to take place, and I don't mean that in snide comments at all, but to reread the letter from Mayor Henry to Mayor Stanley and be willing to hear the response, the answers, how we got to where we're at, where we all believe we want to go, And I think that would also then shed some light on Paul's comment that we like out-of-the-box thinking, but we have to understand there are real-world limits that out-of-the-box thinking that as long as everybody knows what they are and we can, you all can make your decisions accordingly, then that's the most that we could ask. So it's not a simple issue. It's, you know, a lot of things happening, and we would love to share and have everybody feel as comfortable about the last 8 years. And actually, it starts on October 1st, 1998, standing on the steps of the U.S. Capitol with Frank Murkowski. That's where the story begins and sort of how we got to where we're at today. And where we're at today is not where we want to end up at.
So I guess my question then to the Assembly is to, I guess I'm trying to be careful not to open Pandora's box and get us off the road, but apparently on the Assembly there are a lot of questions on where we're at and why we're at this point. So is this something we want to continue with discussion now, or is this something we want to set up at a, you know, it could be a workshop if you want to, just on this issue, because it is a big issue.
Well, that's what I recommend. We were actually going to do it at this meeting, and then, but we wanted Mayor Stanley here, because he's been involved in this thing a lot. So, and that's why we went ahead and thought, well, we'll do it at the next meeting and have it in King Cove. So,
and personally, I do have questions also. You know, I was here probably in the beginning when this started also, but over time, you forget some things and you need refreshed, or maybe some things have changed. I just, and if we waited, I mean, if we put this thing in concrete that we're going to do this in a month or whatever when Stanley gets back, because he's been involved in this for a lot of years too. I know Gary's been involved in it forever, and the mayor. I just don't want to blow this thing up. Paul?
Yeah, that's, of course, handed. Read the letter that mayor wrote. And part of it was a request for money from the borough, which is fine. There are different ways of looking at that. But I couldn't draw any conclusions by just reading a letter. But if you I think next month we definitely should have a full discussion, because we've been gone too long. And I know you started with Senator Murkowski at the date you mentioned, but much earlier than that, there have been discussions about the road, but still got Sally Jewell on the way, and no guarantee about lawsuits, and that refuge is still there, that wilderness area is still there, and maybe a miracle will come out of Congress. We've been waiting for that miracle, and it looks like we're farther away with Secretary Jewell being involved than we were earlier, right, to be. And so I'm all in favor of discussing it some more, and if there were written surveys of these other options, I'd like to revisit those myself. I haven't seen them.
Okay. Well, how about if we do this then? How about if we just give...
We should put...
Let's give direction to administration to get together with King Cove's administration and put together a meeting for all of us for a month from now, or however we want to figure it out, but before summer rolls around, say in a month, and let's sit down and get this all aired out to where everybody's comfortable. Would that be acceptable?
So moved.
And that we have the meeting in King Cove and have a good long workshop to explore with some of the community members present. So,
however they set it up.
Yeah.
Knowing that we all want to meet face to face. Paul?
And then we also should invite the Alaska DOT representative. That's an important thing as far as partnership with the state in
because they could be involved with the monies that we may need later, too. And I think the new administration is good to get them involved. And they've been talking about it already. The governor's been back in D.C. talking to Sally Jewell already about that particular issue.
Well, I'll look into it. I'm not sure who that representative would be off the top of my head, so...
He was back in D.C. The governor was...
No,
he's the one who...
Commissioner, he'll pick somebody.
Henry. Or Gary, whichever one.
Well, I would agree that Commissioner Lucan, we would start and ask him to come to Kinko, and he maybe come to do so, but in his absence, Roger Hewley is the other person in the commissioner's office that has been involved in this process going back to previous administrations. And I would also say that, you know, I've had three conversations. We all know and really like what Governor Walker is saying, but it's also one of those issues that saying something like what he's saying, just build the road, isn't quite as simple as that. So, you know, there has to be a little bit of taking one's enthusiasm and emotions and trying to fit it into the real world that we still have to live in. Like, where's the money going to come from if we don't do it the right way? The permit process will never go away, no matter how creative we get. So these are the things that I look forward to getting as many folks to help us all get educated at the workshop that we're talking about in Kinko. I think we can then take the step forward together that we all need to take. And all the steps that we've taken since October 1st, 1998 could at least be there and available for people to understand and at all move forward together.
Okay, then. So we basically, the two administrations, mayors will work together, and we'll just move forward? Is that...
Yes, but you've given direction.
Does that make a little clarification here?
Sure.
I'm on the board of a Kinko Corporation, and on this little map here, this little line goes right here. That's actually where the road goes up to the beach, and that's where it's fenced off. And actually, that the corporation's land is on the refuge, technically. So if we were to even try to go and go along the beach on that little corporation land, like you said, you got to go through the Fish and Wildlife Service, and we all know how to deal with working along with them. And we tried to get a, when I was working on the road, we tried to get a quarry down there just so we could build the road quicker. But I went to Della, and then she told me how we have to go about it, and the AIC guy said we're not going to deal with that. So anyway, that's how that part of the land works right over here in this section where Paul's talking about. It's, you know, it's actually the corporation's land, but then it's on the refuge, too. So it isn't like, okay, corporations give us land. It's not going to happen that way. Yes, technically it is in wilderness, too. It's just ridiculous how that works.
Okay, so those are more things that
come up. And then,
yeah. Okay, both sides have direction. Everybody's happy. Now we're going to go on to a less contentious issue. Paul?
Sounding, that's all. And maybe we can speed that process up. It looks like the whole thing stopped for some reason. Maybe I didn't get it right.
Well, again, Chairman, members of the Assembly, we're kind of at it's the state's beckoning here a little bit, and they are working on a contract to get that done. And I got an email, actually sent an email to Sean Holland yesterday and got a response back that they are working on that contract and hope to have somebody out there in May to do those soundings and that so they can finish that work.
Can you get somebody out in May?
May is what I believe the email said, May. I understand, and we actually met when we went down to Juneau. We met with DOT. We've expressed our concern about what's going on, how this is happening, and that, quite frankly, we can't continue to subsidize the helicopter if we don't get some kind of either subsidy help or solution to get this thing changed. So they, and luckily, Commissioner Lucan was, we were able to meet with him, so he's gotten the word, too. So they know about it and aware of it. We just need to follow up with it and keep it going.
Any other comments, questions on that? Hearing none. Thank you.
We'll go to the new item number 8. So, before us we have a public hearing on Ordinance 15-01, amending the FY15 budget.
Move to approve.
No, we're in the public hearing.
Oh, we're in
the public hearing.
Suggestion, perhaps, Rick, he wasn't here at the last meeting. Maybe he could run down. Roxanne suggested that he run down the budget because he was pretending to pass. He was sick, excuse me, last meeting. And we didn't hear from him. So, and he put it together, and he did work on it before the public hearing, perhaps. I think would be appropriate, but this is my...
Can I do it that way? I can't do it that way.
No.
Since it was on the table at the last meeting... And now we're into the public hearing portion, so I think I have to open it up for public comment. So is there any public comment on Ordinance 15-01, amending the FY15 budget?
And if I may correct myself, I think Roxanne did a lot of work on the budget, pretty sure. But I don't know. I wasn't there. So maybe
there is no public comment.
She did it all.
Now, yes, so you want an explanation from the finance officer to the...
No, I just want explanation to the assembly from somebody else.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the assembly, I mean, Roxanne does a great job and does a lot of this work, and so she's the one who comes to me and says, you know, she proposes where the adjustments need to be made. And I, you know, we talk about them, and then I usually agree because it makes sense. So, and there's probably a few things in here that I threw at her that we needed to do. So most of these, I think most of these adjustments, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roxanne, are, you know, as you go through the year, you don't know. You got some areas that ends up, some line items end up taking more that year than they would others, but then they've got other line items, so we adjust them both ways so that we're not really increasing the budget by a lot. But there's just things that you know about as you go through it, like the shared fisheries tax, because that's always a year behind when it comes from the state, so we know those numbers now, but we don't know them at budget time. And so during mid-year budget, you try to correct some of those things like that. Let's see, the hovercraft, those were things as we got into it further with leaving the hovercraft and going to the helicopter, realizing that we had to, with the hovercraft, we had like 4 or 5 crew members that were out there. There was a lot of things that they could do that they were doing, but when we got the helicopter, we had a pilot and a mechanic and realized that there was a lot of things that didn't get done, like taking care of the hangar, getting them over to the helicopter and making sure reservations and baggage and everything is taken care of. So we had to hire extra help, which we let you know, and so we're just adjusting for that. The adjustments that she put in her memo it stayed the same thing February 12th that we added was some money, additional money for the permitting as we got into the permitting process and started setting up the database to help us keep track of it. There were things that we just ran out of the budget that we had for the grant, but there were things that just didn't make sense to stop it here now because it didn't finish what we needed to do to be able to keep track of all these permits now that are starting to come in. So we needed some more money to be able to finish up that database. And then we had, of course, the adjustments that were made based upon the FY... that would have been FY15... permanent fund revenue, those are those projects that the assembly approved. That's in this budget so that we can actually get the money appropriated and get that money sent out. And then the only other new one to that one was my request to ask for FY16 permanent fund earnings in advance through this mid-year budget, the $2 million for the King Cove School so that we could start that repair work earlier than later.
So with that, I'd be happy to have Roxanne or myself answer any questions that you have. Do you have anything to add, Roxanne?
I do.
That maybe we should highlight a little more?
Yes. On the ordinance, I noticed the $25,000 is added on the $67,500 for the Planning Commission. The ordinance, the second page right here, under the operating fund expenditures. Under Planning Commission, it got $67,500, and it should be 92.5. I apologize for that. Yeah, that's not. The $25,000 isn't included on there.
92.5, you said?
Yes. So that would bring our total expenditures to $6,417,066 with a surplus of $963,237.
Anything is just 6 million.
Right here. Okay. That was the only difference.
Okay. Paul, did you have a concern?
Oh, I did have one question about school again, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The school is only to show on the ordinance, or just only shows on the spreadsheet? The 6 pages of spreadsheet. Behind here.
The 2 million?
It does show on the ordinance.
Oh, okay.
Fund 41. Okay,
fund 41.
Yes. That's the school project.
Okay. And just to make sure there's no misunderstanding, if we pass this today, this 2 million is going to be in this budget pending approval of the bids that are out now on the.
That's correct.
And if, say, the bids are up toward $2 million, there's likely a very small appropriation to communities next year.
That's
because
correct.
It'll all be going to the King Cove School. Maybe, if bids come in some range and we approve the bids.
That's correct.
And the construction on that would be this summer.
Yes. Start in May.
So, and I'll just conclude by saying we're probably going to vote for it. I'm not happy about it, but I'll probably vote for it.
But even though the $2 million is in the revised amended budget, it can't be spent or approved without approval of the Assembly.
Yes.
Okay? Okay, are there any more questions on the budget? We're fine. So we're ready to do it.
Was that just in the ordinance or the spreadsheet too, Roxanne? Does that need to be amended? The Planning Commission correct the amount of $92,000.
It is not included in the spreadsheet also.
Okay, it's not.
It's not supposed to be, or it's supposed to be?
It should be the $25,000.
Oh, so we need an amendment then.
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
amendment to the.
To amend ordinance number 1501 by adding under operating fund expenses under Planning Commission. An additional $25,000 to bring it up to $92,500, and under total expenditures, adding $25,000 to that total, which is us $6,417,066.
No, that's it.
Okay, so we need a second on the amendment.
Second.
Okay. Second by Brendan. So we need a roll call on the amendment.
I got a question on the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
Just public due process, and, you know, this is a public hearing on the ordinance, and when we start adding stuff on the second hearing, I'm just curious if that's legal, I guess.
Yes, because it has been duly posted. That you can make changes to it.
I know the ordinance has been posted, but now we're adding stuff to it. Has the addition been posted?
Well, actually, my understanding is the amount is in the packet, but it just wasn't included in the.
Yeah, I forgot
to add the number in.
Yeah, they forgot to add the number in. So it's in there, but it wasn't added in.
Mr. Mayor, I also think you could call this a minor change.
Yeah, with the overall budget, it is.
Yeah,
minor change. Is that okay with you, Joe?
Just one other clarification. Yes, thanks, Mr. Chair.
So with that, we need to do a roll call on the amendment.
Carroll.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Nikki.
Yes.
Paul. Jack.
Yes. Okay, the amendment passes. So now we have the amended ordinance 1501 before us for approval. So roll call.
Okay, roll call the main motion. Ken.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Nikki.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Paul. Warren.
Yes.
Paul Shack.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Alvin.
Yes. Okay, ordinance 1501 in its amended form is adopted. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we have no new business, correct? And no old business. But we have reports and updates. So the first report would be the administrator's, Rick. Everybody has a copy of it. Do you normally go through it? Or
no.
Does anybody have any questions for Rick on his report? Hearing none. We have a report from Laura. Fish News and In the Loop, that's in your packet. No questions? Or any more?
Any in the
loop?
Hmm?
Yeah, any in the loop.
There's a voice right there. You just
And Miss Danny?
Danny?
Oh, she's after?
White.
She has a report. So anybody have any questions for Waste Tuck Fisheries items? Mr. White has none. It's hard this way. Annie has an assembly report. Any questions? Annie? Everybody must be happy with your reports. Very good. Okay, assembly comments. None? Public comments?
This is App Kremer in Cold Bay.
Okay, App.
I got a handful of them here if you guys are ready.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, and if at any point you guys have any questions, just break in and let me know, and I'll see what I can do to answer them. I'm not sure if you guys are aware that the Aleutians East Borough sits inside the central region for the DOT. And they're talking about redistricting our area for DOT to go to what's known as a coastal region. And what that means is our new head shed would be moving to Juneau. And where I think it would become a concern for the borough and the cities within the coastal region. Currently, right now, if you guys are working on something with leasing or the engineers for capital projects in your borough, you could go to the head shed there in Anchorage and talk face to face with the DOT employees. Once we become a coastal region, then if you wanted to handle anything with leasing or the engineers, capital projects or something like that, it'll be over the phone, email, or travel to Juneau. So I just want to make sure that Aleutians East Borough was aware of this. It would be my recommendation for the borough to get with all the communities within the borough, the leadership, and have everybody write a letter to the state of Alaska. And I would even go out to as far as ADAC and Dutch Harbor and have those guys write letters as well, unless that works for you guys. I see a large added cost in just doing business by them switching the coastal region around. So I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention in case nobody knew about it. Or, and if you have any questions, that's about all I know about. They're kind of, I know it's supposed to happen by July 1, but other than that, they're really not telling us a lot out here. If you have questions, you can shoot them to me or Paul, and Paul could get them to me via email. My email address is harold.kremer@alaska.gov now. So, did you guys have any questions on that? If not, I'll move to the next item on my list.
Hold on a minute, Happy.
Okay. Paul has a question.
Yeah, I know people have been working on it, particularly the city of Unalaska, for well over 2 months. And with the new administration, this new plan may not go forward. So there have been lots of people already involved and are unhappy with it. So I think, it's a several-month-old plan already and a lot of unhappy people. That's about as much as that. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, go ahead. Happy.
Okay, the next concern I have is the Barron Pacific Seafoods out of False Pass a couple of times this year has sent, I don't know if they've released the employees from their employment or what, but they're shipping people over to Cold Bay and not taking care of the lodging or tickets right away. And I know passengers are getting stuck here. One of my guys showed up to work a couple of months ago, or about 3 weeks ago, I think maybe it was, and there was a passenger kind of hanging out in the doorway of our shop toting his suitcase around. And I don't know if there's something the borough can do or say to these guys, but, I mean, I definitely promote businesses in our community and I'm glad to have them, but they need to be taking care of their employees. Even if they, I think it's Alaska statute, if they bring somebody up here, they have to pay to get them out. And to just ship them over here, I know the Cold Bay Chapel's bought a couple of tickets over the last 2 years or so, or actually longer than that, but of employees have gotten stranded here off of fishing vessels and stuff like that. And I think we should have some sort of, I know there's Alaska statute that requires that they take care of getting an employee back to the point of origination, but I'd like to see the borough maybe write a letter to them and get them on the straight and narrow there.
Yeah, my understanding is, Ken, is that companies owe them transportation to a place where they can get scheduled flights out.
That would be Cold Bay.
I guess. But definitely worth researching.
I mean, that's Larry Cotter, so I can make an inquiry about it, see what he can tell me about it. But
yeah, happy. We'll
we'll look into as much as we can on our end through the administration.
I would really like to hear back if you guys find out anything, because I can write a letter and have the state write a letter as well.
When I came out of King Cove the other day, there were four gentlemen that came up from Falls Pass to Cold Bay. They didn't have reservations. They had the monies to pay their way home, but they did not get their credit card information from their wives and mothers and stuff in line on the telephone to get on the plane. So that's the fault of people. That's really
important. I know the case that you're talking about because I happened to be in the airport that day. That's not the particular case I'm talking about. I'm talking about sending somebody over here without lodging and no ticket out of here. This happened a couple of 3 weeks ago. A guy was over there. He got fired, and they got him over here after the plane had left for the day on Saturday. So then the ex-employee was stuck here in Cold Bay Saturday night, Sunday night, and then they did eventually get him a ticket out on Monday, but then the lodging. One of the lodging places here in town took care of them and just sent them a bill. But that kind of hardship should not be just dropped on the city of Cold Bay or the community of Cold Bay. And I would really like to see that Baron Pacific, toe the line on that. That's not cool. When my employee showed up to work, the temperatures were... it was below freezing. I don't know the exact temperature, but I remember looking up, and it was below freezing at 5:30 in the morning when my guy showed up to work. So, and that guy was sleeping in our entranceway.
Okay, so Happy, I'm not sure if we can actually do anything about it, but I know your community, the city could contact Department of Labor probably and ask them some questions on as far as what responsibilities are. And on our end, we can talk to some of the folks. But that's about as far as I think we can go with it. So do you have any other comments?
I do. As far as the employed position here in Cold Bay for the borough, I was wondering if the borough would be interested in having that position also customs agent. I mean, if you've got a terminal building and you're trying to promote business, it seems to me like that would be a good option to maybe having that employee also your customs agent here in Cold Bay, and they could do it for the same salary. And that was just a thought. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Happy, that's probably, if you want to talk about that, probably best to call the administrator, and you guys could have a chat about it to see if it's something that the borough would be interested in.
Okay. And I just have one more FYI for you guys. Some of you may know, I know Brenda knows because she's on the school board, but Cold Bay School has been under the count for going on the fourth year, and we are currently pursuing avenues to find funding to keep the school open. When the school board met here earlier this last month, they told us that the operating budget for this school would be $211,000, and so we're looking for avenues to find that kind of money. I know that there's a website out there that you can go to and donate, and then I'm currently working on trying to find some contact information for the air carriers that frequent this airport due to in-flight emergencies. And so we're going to try to pursue that avenue as well to see if we can get some funding. I'm not sure how many of you guys know, but the Cold Bay School has been used in every one of our emergency landings here in Cold Bay with the Delta and the United flights, and we've put hundreds of passengers in that school, and it's been great for that. If there was a possibility of that school staying open, I think that you know, in the future, that maybe if the air carriers don't pay for it to stay open or help us with that, then maybe in the future we can start charging them for that. But I just wanted to let you guys know that the city of Cold Bay, the people of Cold Bay, are actively trying to find some sort of funding to keep that school open. It's really hard. We got a couple of open positions here, and some coming open later this summer. And I'm already talking to one guy, and he's got children, but his biggest concern is whether or not there's going to be a school next year. And it's really hard to say because I guess we don't know until, I believe it was April 7th, Brenda?
I'm not sure, really.
Yeah, I think we heard it was April 7th, but I just want to make sure the borough was in the loop and knew what was going on there, and because it is your building, so I just want to make sure you guys knew. And that's all I have from Cold Bay. Thank you.
Okay, Happy, thank you for your comments and your concerns there for your community. Henry.
The action today is made by administration assembly to meet with the Inco's next one, the work group, or whatever you want to call it, the city of Inco's group.
Henry, could you move closer to the mic, please?
The action today made at a council to meet with King Cole pertaining to the access road with the assembly and the King City of King Cole Corporation involved too. King Cole group with Gary, Della, Rick, and Stanley, and Laura's been there most of the time too. They lived and breathed the life of that project. And Gary has a good history that he will share with us. We've went through a lot of the alternatives. We've had a lot of serious questions that Gary can answer and share with us. So it's going to be a good learning experience for all of us to see how we proceed and where we go. Our council can be happy to hear that put together with you folks. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. And I'm sure to... Assembly's going to look forward to that meeting also. A long time coming. Any other public comment? Hearing none. The next thing on the agenda is next meeting date and time. Are we going to go with our schedule?
Well, in discussions with Mayor Stanley, he requested, recommended that the meeting be the following week after that, because trying to put this King Cole stuff together, and we're also putting together the budget, gives us a little bit more time, and then we can have the next meeting towards the end of May, possibly around May 19th. So his recommendation was the week of April 13th, but Paul, I think, brought up a conflict already.
Paul, if I may, I know there's some quicker meetings. Week of April, and if it was 1 week later, the 20th, that Thursday, I think that would give it just a little more time, too, and then maybe some of the staff that were going to be at the meeting could make it. That's just a friendly suggestion. That way, we can't call it. I think the 20th might fit better, and that's still, we'll get plenty of time for the second meeting.
What day of the week is that Thursday, please?
Well, the 20th, you're saying the week of the 20th, right?
Whatever.
Because that's a Monday. So.
Monday is the 20th. Yeah.
Well, I just picked 7 days after you said that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just saying the week of the 13th, I hadn't picked the date, so.
Sometime after the council, maybe you can.
Does that week work for King Cove?
We're having a meeting on the 13th, I think, of April.
Oh, so Gary will be out there then. Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah,
that's. In the Oak Range here in the training?
Yeah,
on our schedule. But if it is necessary, we could have our stuff later that week, and then I'd stay there to be there. So I think it's safe to say that the City of King Cove will accommodate whatever reasonable schedule alternatives we need if we just work this week. It's that important to us. I would also say, though, that I know Rick and I both have, being on the AMLGI board, that 23rd and 24th, I think that's that meeting, so that board depends upon all of its board trustees showing up each week to do business as well, so.
The earlier in the week would be better.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I move we have a meeting the 16th of April, kickoff.
16th?
Thursday.
16th. Okay. 16,
16. The taxes are paid.
Taxes are at 50.
I know,
yeah.
They'll be paid. Right?
Can't have it on 13th. That's probably a sticker or something.
Does that work for the rebates, right?
I think so, yes.
That'd be better? Well, you said 13th.
Yeah,
that
week. I said the week of the 13th is what I said.
Okay.
So.
16th. Everybody's happy with that?
In King
okay.
Cove, right?
In King Cove.
Okay.
So,
happy's happy.
Happy's happy. He'll be close.
Always happy.
Okay, if there's nothing else before the assembly,
motion.
We adjourn.